You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Pike as an actress, but she always makes me feel like she's Gwyneth Paltrow's disapproving, more dowdy sister. You know, she always looks like she just smelled something.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't feel like she was like that in Gone Girl, but yeah, and this definitely. And then that thing she did with Simon Pegg, there's a little bit of
that.
A little bit of turd under the nose.
We're talking about the film United Kingdom.
Yes.
I always...
Not the United Kingdom.
No.
That's a place that won't be around for much longer.
Or at least without the United part.
Yeah.
This is based on a true story that I knew absolutely nothing about.
Yes, and most people don't.
Which is a big strength for this film that most people, I don't think, do know very much about this.
Yes, it's kind of nice. So we're actually telling stories about this great big continent that has a lot of countries in it that most people in America know absolutely nothing about.
Darkest Africa.
Yeah, Darkest Africa. This doesn't even take place in Darkest Africa. This takes place in the Kalahari, which is in southern Africa. And
it's brightest
what
Africa.
What is, at the time, in the setting of the movie, is Bechuanaland,
yes,
which is a British protectorate, which goes on eventually to become the Republic of Botswana, which is still around.
Spoiler!
Yes! Spoiler indeed!
That part you may already have known.
Yes.
But you may not have known the story behind how that happened, which is what this movie is, with the wonderful, astonishingly talented David Oyelowo, who's apparently going to hit playing the role of every powerful, important black person in the 20th century.
Yeah,
he's going on down the list one at a time. He's playing Seretse Khama, who was the prince of Bechuanaland. And he's been living in London for a while, going to school.
Yeah.
His uncle is regent back home. And he meets and falls in love with a middle-class girl.
She's a clerk at an insurance firm.
Yeah, played by Rosamund Pike. And they bond over their love of jazz, which I can totally identify.
They like the Ink Spots.
Yeah, they do indeed like the Ink Spots. What's not to love?
What's not to love? The Ink Spots are a great fucking band.
And they hit it off to the point where it becomes clear that this is not just casual flirtation.
They're very much in love, and certainly if you've seen Loving, you know that there are already problems there, but they have a bit more, because Bechuanaland borders South Africa, and this movie takes place in it begins in 1947. And this is roughly the same time that the country of South Africa, which is no longer part of the British Empire per se, start their apartheid system, which is, that whites and blacks are completely removed from each other.
Which,
for all intents and purposes, black people can still serve white people, but they can't, it's to some extent even more strict than American the American Jim Crow segregation,
which
was.
A lot of the powers that be in England do indeed find very distasteful.
Yeah,
but that doesn't matter because they are so broke after World War II,
right.
And that South African gold and diamonds that are coming in are such a huge thing to the boost to their economy.
Yeah, South Africa is still part of the Commonwealth.
We can't do anything to really upset them.
Yes.
And when Seretse decides to take Ruth with him back home and make her his queen, which he realizes is already going to be difficult for any number of reasons.
His uncle is none too pleased.
Yeah, and
this.
The people are going to be freaked out by the idea of this whole thing. That it's doubles down or quintuples down even worse when England is like, we have to do anything we can to stop this, mm-hmm. because South Africa says flat out, if you let this happen, we are going to stop dealing with you, England. We're going to stop giving you gold and diamonds. And that obviously is an issue. And that puts these two lovers embroiled in like trouble from all over, not just the continent, but from the other continents. And I think the strength here of this film, much like Loving, is the real focus a lot of times on the relationship between these two people.
Yeah, they do a job of showing that these are two, they're two people, they're in love, they happen to be embroiled in this, kind of deep conflict, and in a continent which is, literally has been broken up over the centuries by colonialism, by imperialism, and by racism. And, you know, they have to overcome that, and but they do choose to overcome it together, or do what they can together, because, you know, the obvious solution would have been for, because everybody's telling the both of them. I mean,
everyone
in this movie, to the point that you're almost like, Jesus Christ, why don't you just get a fucking divorce? Yeah. Because, like, the government, the people that represent the people that represent the British in Beshwanaland, his tribe, his chief, or, you know, the acting chief, his uncle,
his family,
his sister, everybody's
her family.
Like, you are slapping people in the face. You are not doing your duty. This isn't a question of racism. You have a responsibility to the culture of your people to marry a woman of this tribe and to make her queen.
And even people in England going, like, you don't understand. This is not a matter of racism, at least for us. It's a matter of racism for South Africa, sure. But, you know, like, we're kind of fucked right now.
Yeah, I mean, the original government that does this is a Labour government. Mm. And there is a turn in power in the early 50s. Churchill came to power again. Many people that don't know that, but yes, he was prime minister. He was prime minister not only during World War II, but he ran again as a conservative candidate in the early 50s.
Which means a different thing there than it does here.
Yes, but you know, there's still British conservatism is still pretty conservative.
Think of every like twat that you saw on Monty Python.
Yeah. I do think that this movie has a lot in common with Loving, and that although it does tell a very interesting tale that people should absolutely know about, and it does do a good job of showing two actual human beings together, there was just something about this that never really clicked for me, much like Loving, in a narrative sense.
Agreed.
And I think that some of the problems with the script, which is a little dull, it does get kind of bogged down into the exactitudes of what is actually happening on the political stage.
It's a very workmanlike script.
Yeah.
It's efficient. I'll say that. Yeah. It could have trimmed some fat here, but when I read the whole story, I was like, wow, they did trim a lot of stuff. There's whole sections of stuff that happened. They're like, nah, we're just going to leave that part.
Yeah, in real life, they were literally having to bounce in and out of England. They lived in England for a long time. They had several children.
But I think this gets enough of that right, and it's such a fascinating story, and it really is that sort of like, I mean, we are definitely in the environment for these sort of films right now about tolerance and like versus all odds, and about that period in time when people were just starting to get used to this idea.
Yeah, and there absolutely, David Oyelowo makes some stirring speeches where he's like, we have to rise above, we have to, you know,
that is his wheelhouse.
We have to aspire to democracy, we need racial parity and equality, you know, we can't get bogged down in superiority or imperialism. That's not the way to fight the problems that we're experiencing.
And part of the advantage here is indeed that casting, as well as casting Jack Davenport as the slimy government guy, which he's so great at playing.
He almost to a fault in this. There were a couple of points that I was just like, oh, come on, nobody's that smarmy and horrible.
Well, yeah, like I said, Jack Davenport's played this exact part enough number of times.
Yeah, this is his...
But it was almost too much when they introduced one of his assistants as Tom Felton.
Here's my assistant, fresh out of Slytherin House, Draco Malfoy.
Oh, he could turn out to be okay.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just like, you just want to go to Felton's agent and you're like, maybe he should play a good guy.
He's like, I'm kind of a good guy on The Flash now.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, dude, you gotta play a superhero or somebody.
He's just
now
got a bad guy face. I don't know. It's still weird to me.
You're far too blonde to be good in the 21st century.
It's still weird to me. Jack Davenport's really the early part of his career on television, British television, he was always playing the romantic lead or just the lead. He played a really great Mulder type character in a series called Ultraviolet. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Coupling, he was the main character.
Yeah, no, and he's
really likable.
Yeah, he's great. But he, like, you know, if you're looking for, like, the guy to play the evil English factotum bureaucrat, then he's...
Ever since Pirates of the Caribbean, he's kind of become that guy.
Very, very much so. And yeah, he's... almost a little cartoonish in this, but, you know.
He adds some weird sort of, you got to have someone, a person to point your disgust at.
Right.
And he is the token person here for that. That, you know, because there's lots of people involved with these terrible decision making over there, but he's the guy we get to focus on. And he's so good at being sort of a weirdly comic relief inside of that in the awkward scenarios that he ends up getting put in. I mean, this movie desperately needs humor when it can find it.
It does, and I wish it had a little bit more. There's a certain dryness to this. It's a little, you know, bit of an English tea of a movie.
And it's not entirely dissimilar from the director Amma Asante's previous film, Belle, which is very good, but still has a certain degree of that English dryness that you're just like, God, this could have used a little more life to it.
Right. There's the emotion, even though it, once again, very much about two people in love, is almost like, The love between them is very palpable, but everybody else seems to be dialed down to about a 7 or an 8, or, you know, a 7 or 6, as far as their emotions go. And I don't know, you kind of want a little bit more going there. The pace of this, it gets to where it's going, but it takes a while. And there were certainly times in this. I was looking at my watch.
Keep going on your final thoughts.
I think there are the certainly many things to be lauded about this movie. The story is very interesting. It's a story that people should see. I think this is a gorgeous movie. Especially the shots of 40s London is incredibly impressive. I kind of wish they had gone a little bit more that way to show the splendor of the Kalahari, which is a very interesting place, but it's also desert. So, you know, and sometimes they kept it, you know, once again, a little dry. This whole movie could use a little bit more wetness for me. As much as I might have admired the performances, I wanted a little bit more gusto in the storytelling, and I felt like the script was a little too workmanlike to give me that. All in all, I'm going to give it. I think I'm going to give it 7.5 ink spot platters.
I think we're pretty much on the same page here. I think part of the problem is the actual details of the story and what's going on around it outside of just the relationship are indeed so really interesting.
Yeah.
That it's pretty easy to get kind of distracted away from the emotional core of the story when all that stuff is going on. When you're like, I admit that I want to know more about what was happening with England and South Africa and what the post-World War II thing. I mean, maybe it's a part of me that's just a history nut now that wasn't when I was younger and didn't care. Maybe I would like this movie a lot better 10 years
ago. And this movie will certainly make you run to Wikipedia as soon as you're done watching it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the people are, I mean, Cesare Tsikama is literally the father of his country.
Yeah. As they make clear in the end credits.
He had a fascinating life. His wife was, even after his death, she lived like about 20 years after his death, and was an activist, fought against AIDS in Africa.
They're both fascinating people who did wonderful, nothing but incredible stuff for their country.
They had 4 kids, and now one of their children is indeed the current president
of Botswana. In 2008 or 9, was just elected.
Uh-huh. He was the leader of their military forces for a long time, and then he retired from that and went into politics.
But, I think this is, it's enjoyable, but this is not a film I will return to. I could see reading a book about this.
Yes.
For sure.
Very
it's
much.
That interesting, this period of time that I assume most people haven't read that much about. We all read about World War II. We don't read shit about what happened after World War II.
Yeah, which is really fascinating. I mean, especially, like, most people don't understand that you know, America snapped back pretty fast after World War II. It took decades for England to really get back. It was like basically the mid-50s before they got back on their feet and were like, oh, now we've never had it so good, as the famous quote says.
Yep. I think this is just, it's good, but it should have been so much better. I give this 7 out of 10. No tiger in Africa. There are no tigers in this movie.
No.
Although there is tiger on The Walking Dead. Makes no sense.
And the polar bear from Lost.